Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Well, if you have AT&T, you are now able to listen to us using your cellular data. But if this had come out early, not even, I mean, it went pretty late into the day before they said everyone got service back, but on Thursday, then you would not be able to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know that much about this other than the fact that I heard people talking about it.
What was sketchy and like first thought was, you know, oh, cyber attacks, whatever. It seems like it might not have been cyber attack, but it still got people like
thinking about
what is going on, and this is terrible. And Marco Rubio did tweet something like, look, you think this is bad? It's going to be 100 times worse when China actually does.
Yeah, I don't know. I listened
to a cyber attack.
Just the best of version of Glenn Beck today, and he had a guy on there that has written about EMP attacks, what it will be like. He wrote this book called 1 Second After. You know, and you just don't, basically you don't realize all the things that will be affected, you know, if
everything
and when this happens. Yeah.
I just want to rapid fire a few stories real quick, and then we can talk about them more. But so you have that one, which, you know, ended up maybe not a cyber attack. However, what you did have was an actual cyber attack against one of the biggest health tech firms, Change Healthcare, and they shut down their system to prevent anything, you know, further happening. And it led to, you know, all these doctors, like pharmacies, everyone that uses the system couldn't use it, so people couldn't receive their prescriptions. Next one was Putin took a ride on a nuclear capable bomber just to remind everyone, you know, that they can do that and that he's a crazy person. And then related, border patrol, you added on here, has arrested 6,400 illegal immigrants with criminal convictions since the start of the fiscal year 2024, which is last October. And so that's only, right, those are the ones that they've caught coming over the border that have criminal convictions. So it doesn't even consider, you know, it's probably a lot larger percentage in all the gotaways. On top of that, Chinese migrants are now the second only to Colombians in the San Diego sector of the border. So what do all these things tell us? If you haven't learned this already, what did we learn, everyone? Get your emergency food, get your weapons, stockpile your ammo, get your Jace case from Jace Medical, get your, it's potassium iodine, right, for nuclear?
Yeah.
And get your EMP shield. Okay.
Yeah. And water purification.
Right.
I've always known that it would be, it's not the actual service going down or all that kind of stuff that's the biggest threat, the biggest issue when something like that happens. It's people's reaction to it. You're going to be dealing with humans panicking.
Yep. Desperate and panicked.
Yeah, because even if you are a prepared person and you can have water and you can have food and you can have, you know, you still have power and all that kind of stuff, other people don't. And they're freaking out. And that's, unfortunately, what the guns are for.
Yeah, within 48 to 72 hours, you're going to have utter chaos. Especially if things like people can't get something, like you say, well, water. Well, it's not a shortage of water. It's getting the water to you.
Right.
Because it's all run on electrical and computerized, you know, systems. This situation with the I hadn't seen this till I saw it on the notes about the Change Healthcare.
Yeah.
We just don't realize how everything now is computerized and online, controlled by programs and computerized control systems, and it all takes electronics, it all takes Wi-Fi, it all takes cellular, it all takes satellite data, all this stuff. And an EMP takes all of that out.
Yeah, people's phone service went out for 12 hours today at the most, and the internet was on fire.
The only thing was Cole was concerned he would get home from work and I would be in labor and he wouldn't have had his phone for me to have called him.
Did he have phone service?
Because he has AT&T. No.
He didn't have phone service today.
No. No, he has AT&T. I mean, it's restored. They restored it, like, over time today, but I could have called, though, the actual, like, nurse's station on his
floor. Yeah, of course you could have, because if you were going to say that that was not an option, then I was going to say, good news for those of us, those of you attacking us, the Army doesn't have landlines. They have no physical infrastructure. It's all wireless networks.
Which, when this started, because you had asked me, because people from other, like, other carriers were reporting that their service was out too, but they said that they didn't have any outages, like Verizon and T-Mobile. They said it's probably because you tried to contact someone with AT&T. But somebody, I also saw a post this morning on a San Antonio mom's page that was asking, hey, anyone have husbands that work for the county or like military families and are being told to prepare for the grid to go out? Because she had heard that apparently, but nobody on there could confirm that. But I was like, that's sketchy.
Yeah, but then I went to the base. I know why no one could confirm it.
What?
Because it was baloney.
Yeah, exactly. Then I went to the base and they hadn't like raised the security level at all. So they're always on Bravo. So
one thing,
I wasn't really that worried.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking that maybe we should try, like our family here locally, let's just do a test run and see what it does to us. If we were to go, just all of us turn our cell phones off for like 3 days, 4 days. That would identify things that might be problematic if we lost our cell phones, and then we could figure out how to handle them.
How to get around them.
Right. What do you think?
Well, we're not going to be able to communicate at all because you have to assume that you wouldn't have, you know, computers and all that either. So.
Right. But just to readjust, because for me, it doesn't sound all that frightening because I lived the vast majority of my life without computers and cell phones. So, okay, we all managed. I mean, we just waited to talk to you when we got home or whatever. But at the same time, I realized...
Well, I don't have a landline. You do have a landline. Right.
I was going to say, I do have a landline, yeah. Yes. But at the same time, I do realize that I've just gotten used to using the cell phone and text and stuff like that.
Right.
So even though it's not frightening to me because I've lived most of my life that way, I certainly have gotten used to using it. So yeah. I would just like to see what it would be like to not have it. So, yeah, just in case...
Write me a letter.
Yeah. I wonder what it would be like. I keep thinking about what it would be like flying without... What if air traffic control went down?
Ooh, yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it, honestly.
If you had visual.
In VFR, I would. Right. I could navigate from point A to point B. You know, you just follow roads and things like that.
With those what are those things that you're supposed to use for, that you fly to? Those white tower things that...
Yeah, I always think of TACANs because that's what they're called in the military. But there's a civilian
name
for it.
A radio?
They send out a radio signal.
Okay.
That you tune into. So yeah, those could be down. The other thing is, what if you did go to some other airport? You're not going to be able to get fuel unless it's out of a truck, because...
I thought about that with, you know, even just if we try to drive. Like, say we had an EMP shield in the car. So we start load up, start driving. We do have a we got a gas siphon because in that case, you know, other people's cars, they're not going anywhere. Could probably take gas out of them. But, you know, finding gas along the way is the challenge.
Yeah. So there are airports. You'd want to know that they have truck fuel available as opposed to having to get self-serve out of a fuel pump because they wouldn't have electricity. But this leads me, though, to something is like, okay, why, honestly, and maybe we can tie this into, did you listen to Tucker Carlson after any of his comments after he interviewed Putin.
I listened to him with Glenn Beck.
He talked about the beauty of how well kept Moscow is and all this kind of stuff. It does raise a great point. If we are supposedly this world leader, we are the first world nation on this planet. Why are we so ill prepared for these kinds of things? Why are we so ill prepared for like an EMP or a cyber hack, like this healthcare thing where literally doctors can't make appointments, they can't see notes, they can't see histories, they can't make prescriptions, they can't fill prescriptions. Everything shuts down. Why are we so vulnerable if we're supposed to be this first world country? And it's because we're run by idiots. We are run by complete and utter morons. I mean, we really are. And not only are they incompetent, they are intentionally wanting to cause crisis in our country because then they can come in with authoritarian control. I mean, that is the whole strategy. If things get so bad and just collapse, then they can move in with authoritarian control. So I don't know if you guys, Cade, if you could find this clip, it would be amazing for us to listen to. There was a congressional testimony, and they had this woman up there. Her name was Bonnie Jenkins, this woman is the U.S. Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. And she was being asked if they had objectively assessed what a two-state solution would look like in the Middle East. If there was a Palestinian nation, have they objectively assessed what that would look like? Who would step into the leadership role of it and all this? And this woman literally does not know the meaning of the word objective. She does not know the meaning of the word assessed. You can tell by the way that she stumbles around talking to this congressman who's asking her these questions. And again, she keeps saying, well, that's for the U.S. government. You are the U.S. government. You are the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. We are being governed by morons.
Do you want to listen to it?
Yeah.
We support a two-state solution.
Okay. Have you looked at that objectively?
What do you mean, have you looked at it objectively?
Oh, have you analyzed that objectively?
This is something that we do support, yeah.
That's not an answer. Have you analyzed a second Palestinian state objectively? Have you analyzed it objectively?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. Have
you don't
I
know
personally
what it means
analyzed
to,
it?
You don't know what it means to objectively analyze something?
Know what it means objectively.
Okay, so have you done that?
No, I have not. If I understand your question.
You might not be, because I can't believe that you would answer it in that way. Let me just start over. You're here representing support for a Palestinian state, correct?
Yes.
Have you analyzed that support objectively?
Yes.
But you just said no. So
I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Okay.
I thought I made it pretty simple, but you said no. But I'll grant you that now you said yes, you have looked at it objectively. So, having looked at it objectively, which I would assume somebody in your position does, who would you assess would lead that Palestinian state? Pick a group. You can name a group, but I'm saying Hamas, Palestinian Authority, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Fatah, some other group. Who would lead it?
I think that has to be something that's considered. I don't think I'm in a position to say
who
that
did
right
you
now.
Objectively assess would lead it in determining you have support for a Palestinian state?
I don't think that I can answer that question. I think this is part of a larger discussion.
But you objectively assess that you support a Palestinian
I
state.
I do support
in objectively assessing that, who do you assess would lead that state? What group that does not receive military support from, say, Iran, do you assess would lead that state?
I understand your question, but I think I would have to have a little
disagree.
I don't feel comfortable saying that without.
Have you not
more
assessed what group would lead it?
Does she say?
Have you or have you not assessed who would become the leader of that Palestinian state?
This is part of a larger discussion.
But have you or have you not assessed that?
This is a part of a larger discussion. I don't
yes.
think I can't answer that question.
You can't answer whether you have or have not assessed who would lead the state?
I cannot answer a question about me, particularly what I think what it should be. I mean, I think that's part
of the logic. Here and said there should be a Palestinian state. Have you or have you not assessed who would lead that? Just yes or no. Have you looked at who would lead it or have you not?
I support a two-state solution.
I know. You said that numerous times. Have you or have you not assessed who would become the leader of that state? Fatah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Palestinian Authority, somewhere else. Have you assessed who it would be?
I don't feel comfortable. I'm sorry. I don't feel comfortable.
You don't care, feel comfortable saying if you have assessed something.
No, what I don't feel comfortable is making a statement when I think it's part of a larger discussion.
Don't even say who it is. Just answer, have you assessed it? Have you assessed who would lead it?
Put it this way, there will be an assessment of this question within the U.S. government
so
in terms of who we think
came
should
here supporting
I'm not
something
in a, I'm
you
not
have
in a
not
position
assessed.
Right now to say what that is because I think this is part of a larger discussion.
Honestly, it's amazing. I think it goes back to your original statement, which was probably the correct one, that you have not objectively looked at this.
You got it right when you said that.
I'm going to move on to another question.
Part of what the U.S. government wants to do. I can't.
You're supposed to be the U.S. government that does that.
I am part of the U.S. government.
There's more that you can go on, but it's like, yeah, at the end, it's like, you are the U.S. government. I wanted us to play that. I know it was a little bit long because I really want people to understand these people that are serving in government are not barely capable of, I don't even know to say a job because I'll insult that job. They're not smart. They don't know anything about anything. How does a person like that rise to this position? And she's so... It's one thing to be uninformed, but it's another thing to be so unintelligent that you say that's a part of the government, the federal government, and not understand that you're burning yourself because you are the person in that position responsible for the U.S. government's action and decision-making process on this topic. She doesn't even understand that she's burying herself.
Yeah,
she's
so stupid. She set herself up by even making the statement that there should be a two-state solution because based on her title, is that even in her purview? Is that even something that she should be looking at? That's for other...
They sent her up there to testify on this subject. I mean...
Someone talked to her one time ever and said she's the one we're going to send to answer questions in Congress?
That's how these things work. Is like we want to talk to
who
people.
Who else would you choose?
Right, and it's like
you
this is our subject matter expert on this. We send her.
She's not an expert on anything.
Yes, but they think she is. My point is, she's filling the role of expertise in this area.
No, she's an expert purely because she of her title like that. Therefore, makes her an expert. This is how they work, right?
Okay.
Therefore, when she says that she supports a two-state solution, you're just supposed to accept it.
Right.
That's how they work.
But here's my other thing too, is okay, maybe she got put into this position and she's not up to speed. She's a diversity hire, obviously. I prefer my diversity hires to at least be intelligent. It's one thing to not be up to speed knowledge level, but it's another thing to be so dumb that you don't know that you're burying yourself when you say this is for the federal government and you are the person for the federal government. You are indicting, you are convicting yourself. I mean, that's really unintelligent. Please understand this about your federal government. Trust nobody. The vast majority of them, the guy at the top is senile, and everybody beneath him is either a liar or corrupt or a moron. And that's on pretty much both sides of the aisle for the most part, not just on the left. It's Republicans and Democrats. Then you go to, let's talk about Fannie Willis. Cassie, I know you listened to Megyn Kelly. Did you
yeah,
listen
I was
to her?
Gonna say we will have put and we'll talk about it and we'll put an article. But if you really want to know what's going on, there's a couple episodes of Megyn Kelly that are going to be the best.
Did you listen to her interview with Judge Joe Brown, Joe,
yes,
yesterday. I want that dude as my lawyer if I ever go to court. He said, and rightfully so, and I apologize if I misquote this. I'm not meaning to sound really, but he said basically to the effect that, again, Fannie Willis is a moron, and I can't tell this woman has any legal training. I have no idea how she went through law school and graduated. It's stunning to listen to her. But he said, and he's right, she's sitting there talking on the stand like she's in the hood just gossiping at the beauty parlor. That's the description, something to that effect of how he used to describe her on the stand.
So amounts of cash, you still had that lien in 2022 when you were dating Wade and going on these trips. So the cash that you gave him, that could have been used to pay this tax lien off?
You gonna tell me how to pay my bills?
No, Jake, this is not relevant as it relates to why we're doing
this. Mr. Merchant, are you trying to establish that she was insolvent in some way?
I definitely was trying to establish that she did not have these mass amounts of cash that she's talking about, yes.
In other words, stop it. He's going to show that she is perjuring herself because she has made statements that closely proximate to this time she was destitute and broke. So if she's claiming to be destitute and broke due to a 2016 or 18 campaign, I forget which, how does she have all this cash money right in hand if she's supposed to be flat?
Okay, well, that's not the clip that he was talking about, what you were describing, but that is Joe Brown. That is that Judge Joe Brown talking about Fannie Willis. Well, in that case, even though that's not what you were talking about, he is pointing out how she's lying either one time or the other.
He went through all the things that she said, and she's just burying herself. There are so many different investigations that could be opened based on what she said on the stand. It's crazy. She is the DA for Atlanta. And you can't tell that she has virtually any legal training. We're so screwed as a country. As you can tell, I can't put it into words. I guess this is the downer. This is the show where I go full downer. Can you guys please respond and say something positive? But I'm using this to launch into, like, where are we as a country? And so we have another Russian hoax coming up, you know, that they're now launching as we head in towards another election. And that made me realize we are done as a country. I mean, we all know that we're not the constitutional republic that we're supposed to be, but we're fully done as a country, because when they can roll out the third iteration of Russian collusion hoax, and there are a lot of people in this country that will believe it, we really are done as a country. Because, I mean, when you can use the same, you know, hoax over and over and over, and it still works, if it works, then I just don't know what hope we have as a country.
Let's consider this for a moment anyway. Never mind. Because you have to be founded in reality for this to even make sense. But, and so this doesn't apply to the left. Who would Russia want to win the election? Well, Russia probably doesn't care, actually, at this point. However, this whole new Russia collusion thing based off this Smirnov guy.
Yeah.
He has ties to Ukraine, not to Russia.
Right.
And so think about, who do you think Ukraine wants to win the presidential election? Because,
well, obviously Joe Biden.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so if this was an issue.
Okay. I know that Alexander Smirnov is the guy who was the source, right, for some of the millions of dollars that the Biden
saying
family
that Burisma was going to give them, the Biden's $5 billion or $10 billion total, or,
and this apparently was a lie. No.
Supposedly it was a planted lie, yes. To,
yeah. Well, hasn't he said or admitted it was a lie?
I guess, but then...
Okay. So I don't know what then the rest of this where you're going into. I don't know that part.
Okay.
They're using it. They're trying to use it to make the Joe Biden criminal activity that's being investigated go away.
They're trying to make it to go the whole thing to go away.
What part was admitted to be the lie?
Supposedly
the $10 million received in bribes from the Ukrainian energy company. That part.
To Joe and Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
And so that was a lie. And so they're saying, look, none of this criminality, none of this bribery, none of this stuff is anything. It's just the Republicans took this, they fell for it, and this is what they've been doing. And so all the investigation into Joe Biden's corruption should just go away because this one thing was a lie.
So they planted a single lie so that they could show that it was untrue.
Right.
Okay, did they also plant Joe Biden saying to a camera that he got their prosecutor fired for looking into Burisma?
Did they plant that? Does anybody in the mainstream media play that? Here's the thing that you have to realize. They don't care as long as the number of people that know about things like the Burisma, getting the prosecutor fired and all that, as long as people with the knowledge of that kind of information, all the Chinese stuff, all these suspicious activity reports from the banks, thousands of them and stuff, of their money laundering, as long as that percentage of people knowledgeable of that stuff doesn't exceed 49%, they don't care that 49% of America knows, because they can still get elected.
Can you imagine think about how crazy this is. In any other, let's say that this was the Clintons, that the Clintons were perpetrating this, and they had a source that was just leaking information like Tony Bobulinski has. He'd be dead. Tony Bobulinski would be dead. But we are in such a crazy situation where the media will cover so hard for Democrat politicians, Marxist politicians, that they don't even have to kill Tony Bobulinski. They just lie. Isn't that crazy? Because in any other time, the fact that the media is so sold out to the left is the only reason that he's still alive. He should be thanking them for his life, because he'd be dead if there was journalists that would actually cover that.
The big name mainstream media are nothing. I mean, they are 100% propaganda. They are reality shapers. They are public opinion shapers and directors. That's all that their supposed news stories, their reporting does. It's intended to direct and shape public opinion. It is not at all reporting information.
I'm just trying to read a story, and maybe he didn't. Maybe it's not proven that he's been charged with lying to the FBI. But I would say, however, the Oversight Committee, they did tweet that we have over $30 million of reasons to continue this investigation, and not one of those reasons relies on the corrupt FBI or an informant. Bank records don't lie.
Good. I'm wondering, so when I say we're completely gone, the only way it gets turned around is God. And I'm wondering if we are at, I'm hoping we're at a Tower of Babel moment where these people are trying to, you know, we all know they think really highly of themselves, to elevate themselves to the position of God. They can do anything they want. That God will intervene. I mean, we see somebody like a Fannie Willis hanging herself. There are a number of people, and if she should be investigated, disbarred, and jailed. And if it's pursued, that would be good. I've seen a number of people in positions, prosecutors, DAs and stuff, now getting charged with things for their own corruption. You see people that have promoted all this transgender and, and drag queens and all this, and they've been publicly touted as these great people, you know, championing the cause. There are people in that now are going to jail for pedophilia and child abuse. And so a lot of these people are getting exposed for who they really are. And I'm wondering if that Is it perhaps that we'll see more of that, and that's God at work just supernaturally intervening to correct this in this maybe a Tower of Babel type of moment? Because it's shocking to me when I see somebody prosecuted, because we know how corrupt the judicial system has become as well. So I don't know. I do know this. If God does intervene in this manner, we think that people will go, oh, God's protected us and he's doing it for our benefit, so we're better off. No, God's doing it for God. If God intervenes in a Tower of Babel moment, it's God doing it for the sake of himself, not just to bless us.
Then Christians must be praying the Psalms.
Meaning?
There's so many in there about God bring vengeance on my enemies or punish the wicked. Why do the wicked get away with whatever?
Right. So I don't know. That's kind of where I've landed as far as having hope, any kind of hope at this point. What's your thinking on this, Alexei Navalny?
Navalny?
Yeah.
So in addition, I like the timing of it. Putin kills the Russian opposition leader. We'll put
allegedly.
Kills in air quotes. Yeah. We'll put it in air quotes. And then takes a ride on a nuclear bomber. Just to remind everyone, I have lots of capabilities and I'm evil.
I mean, he killed Prigozhin, so...
Yeah.
And that's, well, he tried to kill this guy a couple years ago.
Yes, he tried to kill him a long time. Yeah,
poisoned him. He poisoned him. He was, like, deformed. He was, like...
So then they have just put him in, you know, gulags, and they sent him to some Russian penal colony, and they say he died... I don't know what they... But regardless, even if he died because he, you know, of weather exposure, whatever it was, he died because they have been, you know, isolating him... subjecting him to different, like, torture, sleep deprivation, you know, not feeding him, whatever, like, that's why he... So even if he didn't directly kill him, he killed him.
Okay,
the events of... Go ahead.
Is it possible that, okay, we need Russia to be the bad guy. I mean, Western intelligence needs Russia to be the bad guy. The more boogeymen they have, the better, because it allows them to maintain a level of dominance. So why is it possible that Western intelligence actually leaked themselves the fact that Navalny was meeting with MI6 operatives on how to start a color revolution in Russia, which is what landed Navalny in prison in the first place? Did you see the undercover tape of Navalny talking to an MI6 agent?
No.
Okay, well, I did, and because it was all over the media like a day after he died. So, I mean, whether it was faked or not, I guess I don't know. But if he really was meeting with them and they thought that he might even be successful, you got to kill that guy, because you don't want that to happen. You need Putin.
Right. I agree with you that we need Russia to be the boogeyman, and nobody is better to do that than Putin.
The biggest reason that we need Russia to be the boogeyman, even though we have a boogeyman that we should be more worried about in China, is because we won't say out loud that China is the boogeyman, because we're sold to them. So we need Russia to fill the place of what we should be focusing on, China.
Yeah, but it's not like you have to work very hard to make Putin the bad guy.
No, of course not. Because he is a bad guy.
Right. The events of the last week that we've just been talking about proves exactly what I said last week, that Tucker Carlson's interview with him, that 90% of it at least was total BS. It was just propaganda and posturing. The only thing that he said that was accurate was that we blew up the Nord Stream. And at first he said that Tucker Carlson blew it up. Did you guys see that?
You blew it. Well, he just says you.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
yeah,
it.
It's like how you say, like, you guys or we when you're talking about your sports teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it just proves that he is a bad guy. So it's not hard to do it. But we do need that.
You're saying we again.
The American government.
We blew up the pipeline?
Not us three.
Right. Yeah. And intelligence needs that. So.
So I think that they are the ones that sold him out, got him arrested, and then they definitely just killed him with by putting him in it's not Siberia. He was in a prison in Siberia, no, wasn't he?
It is. Hold on, I just read it. It is the penal the IK-3 penal colony, about 1,200 miles from Moscow in Russia's remote far north Urals region.
North Urals?
It's like...
Yeah, it's a mountains, right?
Yeah.
The Ural Mountains.
Yeah.
What... Can we... Like, penal colonies. Let's... How do you feel about a penal colony?
Good, if we could put all the people I wanted there.
I know. There. I kind of...
We're running out of islands, though.
Where would you choose, right? I feel like there's some we could just make into... Like, do we really need...
Hawaii.
Australia, they've done it before.
Yeah, I mean, it was again. Yeah. So you want to go in, conquer,
just use the other side,
take Australia, and use it. You could just the middle. I mean, nobody's in the middle.
In the middle of our Greenland. Country,
yeah.
Greenland,
Wyoming, Montana,
Greenland.
No, sorry, I mean the middle of Australia. Oh, no one's in the middle of Australia.
Yeah, yeah. They only live, yeah.
Greenland.
Well, I don't know. In the old days, the Greenland? Military was a penal.
Is
colony.
That a Sergeant Bilko reference?
What? No, it's a Greenland reference. It's Greenland.
But isn't that where they send?
It is. Where they send? Yes, it is. It's where they send.
Oh, I thought they sent the guy at the end.
No, but Greenland is ice.
Greenland is ice.
Yeah, so they send him to Greenland. Yeah,
even that's not true. They're both ice.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, Greenland is a place would be good because that place has been up for sale before. There's nobody there. Donald Trump one time tried to buy Greenland.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, we could totally do that.
If you put people there, then you buy it, and then you have all this slave labor, I'd set up manufacturing there. Wouldn't that work? If you had Greenland as a penal colony, and then you could buy it?
You could basically, what you're saying, is make larger manufacturing. Because we already, in prisons, they do some things.
Yeah, like make license plates
make
or whatever.
Make license plates, yeah.
Yeah, but you could set
you're
up,
saying you could really,
yeah.
They could make microchips, because we need those.
Whatever, labor would be cheap. That's my point.
Here's the problem with that. Greenland would start to become commercialized and all that labor would grow Greenland. And then every time you needed more labor, it incentivizes you to sentence people to the penal colony. And there's going to start to be crony capitalism stuff where judges are sentencing like, oh, you're a big, strong guy. I don't know if you did it or not, but I'm sentencing you to Greenland. And then they get like a kickback from the people that own Greenland. They're making all this money.
I don't know.
And then you'll commercialize.
There has to be a threshold for being sent to Greenland has to be.
And now there's so much work to be done because you're doing so well, you're expanding, and now you have to incentivize people to go to Greenland, and you start to expand the infrastructure, and then all of a sudden, boom, Australia 2.0. And then all the people all the bad people you sent there are free.
Yeah, we definitely don't need another Australia. We've talked about AI and stuff in the past, so I thought this was an interesting update. I mean, when you think about artificial intelligence, does it have tremendous opportunity and possibilities? Yes, but it's just like any other technology or computer. It garbage in, garbage out. I mean, it depends on what the inputs are as to what you get out of it. And so they have this story in the New York Post about where Google's woke AI, it makes Vikings black, it makes the Pope a woman, and it shows a black person as in the image of one of our founding fathers. And I've seen other stuff where it said that white people are evil.
They couldn't get a white person. It was harmful. It was.
Oh, it wouldn't draw a white person.
They asked it to give a picture of a white, like, because it was giving, like, images. They asked, give me a picture of a black man. They're like, here you go. And then they asked it to generate images of a white man. And this is a quote. It says, I can't generate images of people as it can be used to create harmful stereotypes and biases. However, I can describe a white man for you. What would you like to know about his appearance?
Draw me a Mohammed.
Well, they asked in the New York Post for a guy who looks like his name would be Seamus, and they finally got one out of four of them was white.
Because he's Irish?
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, is there anybody whose name is Seamus who's not white?
I bet it. You know what? It's more likely that there's a black man named Seamus than there was a white Viking or a black Viking.
This is accurate. And like Asian woman.
Yeah.
Women. And when somebody also asked.
What do you mean Asian women? Like, I thought you know this Asian was, women like, are real, right? What are we talking about?
Not as Vikings.
Asian, oh, Asian as women as Vikings? That was another I'm thing that sure, came up?
I think so, yeah. Yikes. They had a group and they're like different races. Okay. I saw one that somebody said, I thought they were exaggerating about this, but then I asked it to make me a picture of like three NHL players. And there was like a woman, like a, I don't know what, she was not white. I don't know exactly what you would say, but yeah, hilarious. On the ice, like,
wow.
In a, yeah.
Nobody sees this as a problem. I mean,
no, they do. Yeah. Google stopped.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, yeah. It's not generating pictures anymore.
So my problem with that is Google stops, but they're only stopping to figure out how can we still make it do what we want to do, but just how not let the publicly without, so obviously yes. know it.
Yeah, right. How can we have it do the bare minimum, like historically accurate? They probably told it in general, right? I'm sure this was the mindset, right? They're thinking, okay, people are going to ask for just general images for whatever, like, you know, I want an image of people sitting around a table eating to post on my whatever. And that's what they're thinking. And so they told it, you know, make sure that you have minorities. And that's how they programmed it. And then it like to the extreme, it's like, okay, we're not going to do any white people.
Yeah. Well, if it's getting information from what's out there currently in like advertising and new movies and show TV shows or streaming shows, they don't, it doesn't see any two Caucasian couples, you know, a Caucasian man and woman with Caucasian kids. It doesn't see that because they don't write that anymore.
If it thinks it's for marketing, if it was just looking at the internet in general though.
Yeah. If it was looking, just see it, but pulling information, in general. Yeah.
From anyway. The photo,
but yeah. So I don't know. Again, that depends on where they tell it to get its information from.
Yeah.
And even if they get it from everywhere, do they weight it? Do they weight the information? Like I sent, do you guys know who James Lindsay is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I sent him a DM last night. That guy, his posts are obviously being throttled. He never gets hardly any retweets. This guy is a major player in the cultural political realm, and the guy never, and I see his stuff, but he never gets retweets, man. It's crazy. That's just not possible. This is what they do.
So we're coming up on the primaries, right? And first, I know that I just got here, so maybe we didn't register in time. But why is it so hard to find information about everything that's there? I found the sample ballot fairly easily, but just to look for like, okay, who are these people or what are these ballot propositions or whatever? Like, I can't believe I would compliment California, but
they do good sample ballots.
Why can other people not? Yeah, they send you a booklet that has like for and against arguments for all this stuff. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's way anyway. Better than Ohio also. California's is way better than Ohio.
But I did find it, and I have never lived in a state like Texas. Which we're going to go vote early because March 5th, you know, is danger territory for I don't want to be in labor and not be able to vote. So, but I got to read you some of these ballot propositions. Now, granted, these are Republican primary ballot propositions. So this would be voting to get them onto the general election ballot. In which case they're like, I'm going to read them and you're like, these are not going to pass. But okay, the first one. There's a lot of them, but the first one is Texas should eliminate all property taxes without increasing Texans' overall tax burden.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you get that on there? Okay. Texans should create a border protection unit and deploy additional state law enforcement and military forces to seal the border, to use physical force, to prevent illegal entry and trafficking, and to deport illegal aliens to Mexico or to their nations of origin.
Yes.
Texas
how's that not
going to
pass?
Well, on to the general, but maybe, but we have open primaries, which is one of these issues also, is to close the primary. because people might come in and vote no or vote for Nikki Haley.
Even if those things pass, though, there's no guarantee it's going to go into law, because some of those people will sue, just like they used to in California. We used to pass legislation, pass
like crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, not like that, but proposals, and then somebody would sue, and it'd end up at the California Supreme Court, and they'd rule it as unconstitutional, and it could never be implemented.
Another is that Texas legislature should require the use of E-Verify by all employers to protect jobs for legal workers and prevent the hiring of illegal immigrants.
I can't believe that's not the law already.
I know. The Texas legislature should end all subsidies and public services, including in-state college tuition and enrollment in public schools for illegal aliens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it seems basic. Like, your kids can't go to school and you can't get... they urge Congress to not grant a form of amnesty or pathway to legalization. There are some other... Let's see. Oh, they want silver and gold. That was an interesting one. Like, to use as currency, as legal tender. The state of Texas should ensure that Texans are free to give or to withhold consent for any vaccine without coercion. There's a school choice one. And then the Texas Constitution should be amended to require proof of citizenship before any individual can be registered to vote, which is crazy. That's like nothing already.
Right.
And the last one is Texas should ban the sale of Texas land to citizens, governments, and entities from China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. I've never lived in a state where I've voted yes on a ballot, maybe one ballot proposition. 13 out of 13, I'm pretty here for.
Who do you vote for your representative?
We have currently a Democrat, and there's five Republicans on the primary.
Bummer, you're not in.
None of them are amazing, but
at least I will say this: if you were going to be in one of the districts around San Antonio, it is probably better that you're in one that's controlled by a Democrat. Or not controlled by, because it's not controlled by, but elected a Democrat, because who your representative is does not change any of the policies that you live under. Yeah. However, it does put a Republican vote in a district held by a Democrat.
I get to vote for Ted Cruz because he's up for re-election.
All those are primary. I mean, those are to see if they get on the ballot, though.
Right,
those
onto
are
on the general. Right. Correct.
So
correct.
Even if they do, and they probably will, it's going to whether or not they get passed in your state is going to depend on how many people from California have moved there.
Yeah, that seems questionable, but
even when you ask,
this is amazing.
The border situation is starting to become unpopular with everyone. It doesn't matter. In fact, would you like to hear this hilarious clip? It's very hilarious.
Yeah.
And you mentioned border control. You spoke about our former boss, Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. I worked on the last time we had real immigration for him. I was a staffer on his team. I was sent to negotiate with the Republican staffers, Orrin Hatch's staff, Bob Dole's staff. We worked with Ted Kennedy, Jay Rockefeller. We all worked together. And so I still believe that there can be bipartisan solutions. The institution is capable of it if you get the right people in there. And I'm going to be working to make sure that we have the right people in there. And also, even before next November's election, when I believe we will pick up the House, the Republicans in the state of New York, and there are 10 of them, they have the power to caucus together, march down to Speaker Johnston's office and say, we demand that you do something about the border, bring it to the floor, and we will support it. Use the power that has been given to you, because we are being so affected. We have 175,000 migrants who came here. They came here for a better life. They came here for a job. But our city and its resources are absolutely overwhelmed. We need a break. I'm working to get people jobs. They're here. I'm going to make them work and get them jobs. But until then, we need some relief at the border. And those Republicans, even in one state like New York, 10 of them can make this happen. And if they don't, this will be a wedge issue, a forceful issue against them this November as well. So I'm putting them on notice. You broke it. You now own it.
that
175,000 migrants in the whole state of New York, and they're
Governor Kathy,
and they're
Hochul
falling apart.
Yeah. Also, ridiculous when she says you broke
that's
it.
That's insane.
You.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh,
it's actual insanity.
That woman needs slapped.
Here's my concern, because this is all about politics. Biden is now kind of, it sounds like, test ballooning, this idea that he's going to take executive action on the border, which he's been able to do all along. It won't, they won't change the way they're handling it, though. It'll just be purely for politics. And again, I'm afraid that a lot of people will go, okay, he's doing something, when he's really not. And he's going to redound to his credit. That's the kind of stuff.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, I know, but my frustration, again, is we have a voter problem. There are too many people that will buy it. And then we're just stuck all over again.
Which, okay. When I have to go, because I am the person, I will not vote uninformed. But I spent so much time having to, especially when it comes to judges. Oh my gosh, it is so hard to actually figure out who you want to vote for sometimes in those judges' races. So I get it. That it's hard. That's why I'm so frustrated about the whole, why don't they make it easier to be, they should inform people, at least make it not, a hurdle to be informed.
Right. Why should they go out of their way to appease like 2% of the population who actually care to
who
be
actually
informed?
Care. That's the other problem too. People don't even
They're
care.
They're like, nah, nobody cares. What am I gonna what am I gonna do? Pay for all
I
these
don't know.
Commercials
if they just
for
sent it, right? If they sent it straight to you, like in a booklet, like I feel like some more people might pay attention, hopefully, than me having to type in every single person's name, try to find their website, try to find information about them.
You
try
are
to find...
wrong. You're wrong. They throw in the trash.
it's again, people that don't pay attention. It's one of the things that really frustrated me recently about we talked probably last week about the whole special prosecutor maybe it was the week before that, saying that Biden was too, his memory was too bad, he was too senile to stand trial because he'd be a sympathetic old man and all this kind of stuff. And then I don't know if we played it or not, but when Biden came out to respond to that, and he because Herr had said that he couldn't remember when his son Bo died. And so Biden responded and said, to be honest with you, when he asked me that question, I thought it was none of your damn business. And that's kind of one of the main things that they've been using to push back against the special prosecutor's report, that, why was he doing this? Why is he asking these questions? Blah, blah, blah. It wasn't pertinent to the situation. And I knew immediately that special prosecutor Herr, did not ask Joe Biden that question. And sure enough, when the transcripts got released to a few people that care, they saw Herr did not ask that question. Joe Biden is the one that brought it up. I mean, but here's the thing. Not enough people pay attention. Not enough people care. They'll believe Joe Biden when he says that Herr asked him that question. And he didn't.
Okay. But I actually don't think people care if Herr asked or not. I think they are concerned about his mental fitness.
Well, obviously they are, because people are, like 86% of Americans.
Yeah, so I don't know if this example matters that much, but yeah.
They obviously think that there's some people out there who will buy it, or else they wouldn't bother saying something so stupid.
You want a feel-good story?
No.
Do you remember? Oh, okay. All right, everybody,
no, I do.
Be depressed. Do you remember when San Diego State had the greatest punter ever, Matt Araiza, who's so awesome, and then he got signed. I don't know if he was drafted or signed by the Bills.
No, he got drafted. That was the rare thing, was that
a punter got drafted. Because
he was the all-time NCAA leading punter.
Yeah, and then he was accused of gang rape by some girl. And then it came out that after all that, he wasn't even at the party, so he didn't face any criminal charges, and even the civil charges got dropped. Yet he still, we were like, no one's going to care, right?
He got blackballed from the NFL.
Yeah, no, he got signed by the Chiefs. The Chiefs are signing him.
Right, but I mean, it's been how many years? 3 years?
He was in the 2022 draft.
Exonerated.
He was in the 2022 draft.
He wasn't there.
I know. But even after, I'm glad that at least now he's getting his
As soon as it came out that he wasn't there, I'd have been trying to sign him immediately. The guy is the all-time leading punter in NCAA history.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that.
This is kind of a feel-good story, and it's also kind of funny when you think about it. But a woman woke up after 5 years in a coma.
That's hilarious.
Into a coma in late 2017. That's feel good because she woke up, right? Okay. What's hilarious is people responding to it online like, oh, this lady, right? She missed COVID. She missed BLM riots. She missed like all kinds of
stuff.
Ukraine.
Like,
she missed AI.
Joe Biden wasn't the president. January 6th.
That'd be a nightmare.
The day that democracy almost
Trump
died.
Trump was president when I went into a coma, and now we got this guy. Oh. That's not.
So, what was funny were the responses, like people replying, like, yeah. Well, mainly they were talking about COVID, like she slept through all the bad feels or like stuff like that. But yeah.
I'll bet you they vaccinated her while she was in a coma.
Oh my gosh, probably. Somebody did respond. She doesn't even know Kobe is dead.
Here's the thing. She avoided all the bad feels, you say, but I have to imagine that getting them all at once is more of like a system overload.
Because there are people also that were like pictures. It'd be like the person filling her in, and it's like a picture of a person like just slumped over.
You see,
like,
everyone's corrupt. Our president has dementia. The vice president is a drug addict.
We've learned that the Constitution is no longer in effect in our country.
There's a first major war in Europe for the first time
people
since World War II.
She's gonna get the recap and want to go back into a coma.
There's a Night Court episode where a guy wakes up from a coma for like after 20 years or whatever. And I think Judge Stone says something to him. He's like, you know, how are you okay? No any side effects? And the guy goes, I'm a little stiff.
Man, when Night Court was on, he was in a coma for how long?
20 years.
He doesn't know that a man landed on the moon.
No, that's true.
That'd freak him out.
People have. Because when I looked this story up, I did get one popping up that said, like, somebody wakes up from a coma after 20 years. I can't even fathom.
It's kind of shocking that they leave him alive, left him on.
I know. It's kind of amazing how much, when you think about how much has changed in 5 years, like 20? Oh, my gosh.
Well, it depends on which 20 years. Now, I understand that only recently have we been able to maintain someone's life in a coma for 20 years. But can you imagine, like, if we could do it before and they just, like, went... You know, they went from like eight, you know.
I can't imagine the amount of atrophy that would take place in a person's body just laying still for 20 years.
Like 1870 to, you know, 1890. What? You wake up, it's the same. nothing happened in those 20 years. You got to be the right 20 years.
We got better wagon
matter.
Wheels. We made like, improvement the buggy whip got better.
Yeah, I mean,
you know how you can stimulate like muscle contractions with like electrical signals? You think they can do that to?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That would make sense. That I think about it, let's say it was a decade. The decade that you were out for would really change everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, like this lady's 5 years were insane.
Like, if you went into a coma in 1930...
Well, that's a depression.
That'd be rough.
You woke up and World War II was over?
It was not over. It hadn't started yet. But when you would miss, like, Hitler's rise and then wake up in the war, but...
Here's one, though, that I find just as amazing. My great-great-grandma Bowers... lived to be 105, maybe 106. I'm not sure if she hit 106 quite yet. She was born in 1866, the year after Lincoln was assassinated.
Oh my gosh.
She died in 1972, 3 years after man walked on the moon.
That
she was awake for all of it.
That is insane.
That's got to be the craziest century. Just like the most.
We've already discovered too much. Our lives are lame.
Did you guys hear, speaking of which,
Elon Musk terrifying.
Says he's going to have a million people on the moon by 2029.
On Mars.
Mars, I mean. 2029.
Yeah.
No, insane. 2029 is not when he's going to have a million there, right? Is that what he said? I thought that's when he was going to first get to Mars.
Maybe, but he's going to end up with him. He's going to put a million people on
his goal was to put a million people. No way, a million people by 2029.
Hey, well, he's not going to get there by 2029.
What is this, the U.S. southern border?
If Mars is like a reboot, I'm kind of in.
I'm not. It's stupid. I'm not. Mars is stupid.
You want to know? God didn't create Mars for people.
It is so stupid. Here's my frustration with Elon Musk. He's obviously a really smart guy, and he's done some really good things. But he, at the same time, is off the rails on some others. It is infinitely more easier to stay here and
make Earth
better right. than it is to go to some other planet.
Except, what if his mindset is I'm working against... Here I have clear enemies that are working against me.
He could be the supreme ruler.
What if I go to Mars?
And make on Mars.
It's easier in the sense that I don't have to fight all of this
government red tape
in order to do it. Yeah.
Except, here's my other frustration. If it wasn't for all the government red tape, Tesla wouldn't exist. Our taxpayers funded that to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's one reason why Elon Musk is so rich.
Hey, if it's there, take advantage of it.
Remember our plan was always to do the self-sanitizing handrails on an escalator. So when they go inside,
when
they clean themselves.
When it goes underneath, it gets sanitized.
And the goal was to create an invention that the government would have to mandate. And then you basically...
I remember.
Yeah. That we were trying to come up with an invention that the government would mandate.
That's when you make the big bucks.
Cassidy had that idea when she was like 10 years old, man. What the heck?
I bet they have that. I bet that actually happens. When the little rubber hand thing goes underneath,
I don't know. When
like
it comes back
clean?
Up, it don't look all that clean.
Well, I guess... Do we want their money at this point? Let's be real. It'd be basically just be getting our own money back.
Yeah, that's another thing I was just thinking today is people don't understand that every single thing that happens in and through the government, you pay for it. Every
people also don't understand tax returns. They get all excited if they get a tax refund.
Right.
And I'm like, no.
Just means you overpaid.
No. Yeah. It means that you could have had that money all year long.
Right. The government took it, they used it, and now they give it back to you without interest.
And do you even trust that they're giving it back to you?
No.
All of it back to you? I don't. No. And I definitely think they're taking too much.
Can we end on a theological note?
Maybe.
This is what I'm going to preach on this Sunday. I was thinking about it, reading through Genesis again, and it's like every one of the days that God creates, it finishes at the end of the 6 days by saying it's good. It was very good. How did Adam and Eve manage to... God put them into a world that it was virtually impossible for them to sin by any action. Now, I don't mean by eating the tree of the... I mean by any action. They had... It's like being put in a, you see a padded room, you put somebody in a padded room to protect them from themselves. It's like being put into a padded room and you had to go searching for the one little possible way that you could do damage to yourself because it's completely designed not to get you hurt. That's the world that God put Adam and Eve into.
Except there was someone whispering in the corner.
My point is going to be, and where I'm going to lay all this out, it's all about your thoughts. It is not the world that we live in. It is all about your thoughts. Even Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge and realized they were naked, it was not that they realized that they were naked. There was nothing wrong with them being naked. God created them naked, and it was good.
They had no problem with it. 2 seconds
It was good. They realized that their disobedience was exposed to God.
Yes, it was like, it's a symbolic.
Right. And so anyways, it was fascinating. It's like, how in the world did mankind manage to sin in an absolutely perfect world? So anyways.
Wet paint, don't touch.
It's all about our thoughts. But see, that's on us. Screw tape letters... C.S. Lewis lays out that basically
it will blow your mind.
Right.
If you
Screwtape
read it.
Writes to Wormwood and tells him that basically you
they're
want
demons.
You want to keep people. Yeah.
All this. Yeah.
It's a mentor uncle demon writing to an apprentice demon, and he tells him you want to keep people living in the future for desires, keep them thinking and desiring things that they don't currently possess. That's where the sin occurs in their mind when those desires are conceived. If they you let them have the thing that they desire, such as like if a man lusts after a woman, that's when the sin, and he begins to formulate how to seduce her. That's the sin. Now he may be allowed to actually end up physically seducing the woman, but that's just to satisfy his flesh so that he'll want to do it again. But the sin occurred when the desire was formulated. So
that's like desire gives birth, but scripture, yep. Like, that's what he means by desire gives birth. Oh.
Sin, and sin once fully
sin, yeah.
Fully developed gives birth to death.
Yeah. That's in James 1.
Maybe you want to close by reciting James 1?
No. It's been a long time.
Many years.
So my airplane mechanic listened to our podcast, and what he picked up on the most was he thought it was funny that you guys made fun of me being bald. That was a highlight of the podcast for him.
What episode was that?
Hey, that was a major.
I don't do that very often.
Yeah, that was bald. Cassidy last week said something last about week. Me being bald.
I'm taking that one. Credit. There we go. Because we know that Cade in the, you know, the big picture is way funnier than me, but
yeah,
I'm taking the win on that.
I will say though, Cade is never going to be bald. He's not going to.
Yeah,
have
it would
my,
be.
He does not have my follicle.
Something
genetics.
Drastic would have to happen for that to occur.
Yeah. So you got that going for you.
I play with fire a lot.